So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. If you were here last July, hey.
Hi. I think I was here last July.
You were.
Okay.
Because last July, Kristen and I did a co-sermon.
Yeah, I do remember.
And this morning, for two reasons: one, because Kristen has a lot to bring to us, and two, because I decided to be lazy. I was off this whole week, and so I asked Kristen if she would co-preach with me so that I only had to do half the work. And so you'll get half of a really good sermon and the rest of my sermon this morning.
I think that's flipped, technically.
Well, and we'll find out.
And being a dad's a full-time job, so
it is.
It's totally fine.
It is. Yep.
It's all good, man.
But I'm so glad to be back here in Shine, as I mentioned this morning. I'm excited to bring LOD into service for the first time. And I just want to say, children have a way of making us think about home. And in fact, this picture in particular that I sent to Yale at like 9:15 this morning, this is her, "What are you doing?" face. This is the face that makes me question pretty much everything, but especially this morning, it makes me think about home. So when I see this picture, it reminds me of me growing up. I grew up in the church. My mom is a United Methodist pastor. I grew up tied to the church in every way. In fact, you could say I almost lived there at certain points in my life. In fact, there were some people that actually thought that maybe we did live at the church, or at least it seemed like it. I remember Miss Laura going to my mom, and maybe some of you have heard this story because I like telling this story. Miss Laura went to my mom, who was a student pastor at that time, and said to her, "Somebody is living in the church." And actually, John Hart is here, so he knows because his son, Patrick, was probably one of the people with me that morning. And what she came and said is, there's this room at Warren First that got flooded back in the 80s, and they didn't use it for anything after that point, because every time it would rain a lot, the church flooded pretty often. They never used that room, except for in the back corner of that room was a little boiler room. And in that back corner of the room that wasn't being used, Miss Laura came and found a circle of stones in that back room. And amidst the circle of stones were Jolly Rancher wrappers and empty chip bags. And so she did an inventory of the kitchen and decided, "Pastor Carolyn, I think someone is living in the church." So my mom decided to reassure her and tell her, no one's living in the church. Actually, that is my children who have taken over that room, not just the youth room, but also this room, and have been borrowing from the kitchen. And actually, there was, including Patrick, John, I'm sorry, there was a group of us that after service, sometimes on Sunday, we would go into this little separate room that no one used and partake in some chips and some candy. I did get in trouble. I did get told by my mom not to do that anymore, and she had to do a lot of work to reassure the parishioner, no one is living in the church. But still, what holds true to this day is that that church was a safe place for me and my siblings and my friends and others to come and encounter Christ, to learn about God, to grow in faith, and we never had to question if we belonged in the church. We just had to stop creeping out the parishioners. But really, church to us was home.
I think Jordan is going to have a similar experience here to Dan of people thinking she lives at the church from time to time. And church is home. And I think that part of our experience with church being a home for us is reflective of this sort of inner desire we all have to be home. Have you ever gone on a long vacation, or maybe when you were young, you went to sleepaway camp or something like that, and you just had this desire to be home, right? You wanted your bed. You wanted your kitchen. So you could kind of like turn off and relax, right? And I think in our lives, we have earthly homes. We have our homes with our families and our friends and our schools and our communities. But our souls, our very inner selves, are on this long journey away from God in heaven. And so we have this dual sort of purpose. We have this dual sort of desire to find, for our soul to find its home as well. And so we have our earthly homes with our families, but we long to be with God in heaven. And there's a place where we can find that. So if we turn to, if you have a Bible, Luke 2, 41 to 49. I don't know if Yale has it. If he does, yeah. Oh, there you go. Yale's awesome. He's always on top of stuff. So I'm not going to read it verbatim, but this is the story where Jesus and his family had traveled to the temple for the yearly Passover celebration, as they were required to under Jewish law. And then everybody left and was going back home except Jesus. And where did he stay? He stayed in the temple. He stayed in his Father's house. And so to me, this speaks to that desire to not just be at home with our earthly family, but to also be at home with our church family. And so the very first words that are recorded that Jesus says in the Bible are questions. He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" He was at home. He was in his church home. He was with his Father in church. And so there are many cultures that speak to this sort of dual desire that we have to be home, to be at home with our earthly family, but to also be home with our heavenly family, and that we do that through our places of worship. So in the Jewish tradition, it is the temple. The temple is actually believed, and I actually had some good words here that somebody else wrote. The Jewish people of the day understood and honored the desire and necessity to be in the temple or church with their church family. They came home regularly. They believed that the temple was a place where the earth and heaven met because of how it was specifically designed. It was a place where both of our homes coexisted. And so I think that there's a beautiful truth in the fact that Jesus, as a child, stayed with his Father in his Father's home, in his church home. Also, Native American cultures also speak to this sort of dual purpose, and they craft their homes with this in mind. One such dwelling in some Native American cultures is called the house where people always want to go. And it's because they believe the fire in the center of their teepees is the connection to the spirit world. So you live on the outside, and you focus your energy towards the fire that connects you to the spirit world. So there's this dual purpose of your earthly home and your heavenly home coming together in one place. I think this is a natural experience that we both have. The Navajo, their talking God, made a home for the first man and first woman, and they recognize the importance of a home place, or a hogan, as they call it. It's a space to live and a space to worship. The Delaware Indians tell of a time long ago when their ancestors grew careless and neglected their time-honored observances. Before long, a great earthquake struck their homeland and shook the ground so terribly that even the animals began to pray. How did they respond? They built a house. The Delaware Big House was born. It's the heart of every single community, and where countless generations gather to pray and to live together. The Delaware home is a huge building where multiple families live, but it's also their place of worship. So not only are they feeding their earthly home, they're also feeding their spiritual home. So we invite you to be part of your church family, your church home, and come be with us every Sunday. Come, let this be your church home.
The very early church started with churches in homes, gatherings that were together that connected people together somewhat in secrecy in the beginning. But this makes me think about all the ways that the church can be home for all of us now, and how we can be inclusive of all people who are seeking for home, looking for that connection to God and to community. We just have to turn to the Bible to hear a little bit maybe about how we can help people find home. This is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him